Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Listen to Joy when you want, where you want, with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au. Joy.org.au.
Welcome to Generation Next. It is Monday evening and 7 p.m, which is when Generation Next is happening. And we have such a massive show for you tonight that we're going to launch straight into it the way that we do sometimes, because on the phone we have Chris Stevenson. But before I say hi to Chris, I should probably let you know that you're joined by Emma and Em.
Hi, Em. I was just waiting for a little break. Big session here.
It's just been one of those days. Everything's been happening all at once, public holidays. But let's get into it. Chris, are you with us?
I'm with you and delighted to be with you, Emma.
Oh, thank you for joining us, Chris. And I apologise for the crazy problems we had last week with the blog not being broadcast.
No problem.
Speaking of the blog, we're going to refer to it as STF Up or something along that vein, because we're a community radio station. For those who weren't listening last week, it's this really amazing blog that Chris has written. I like to think of it as an open letter in response to the pastoral letter published by a few Victorian bishops in the Catholic Church that really gave the other side of the story. It was really great. So thank you, I guess, for writing that and giving us a chance to read it.
I'm really glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed writing it.
It's definitely a very colourful and informative piece of work. Very funny. What was the motivation for writing Shut the F Up?
Well, Emma, as you said, a number of bishops in Victoria got together and they wrote this letter encouraging Catholics to lobby against same-sex marriage. And then they distributed 80,000 copies of that letter to churches throughout the state. Well, I think I read that letter 10 times and every time I felt sick to my stomach. It was just so smarmy and condescending. It was just plain wrong.
It really is an awful letter. And if anyone hasn't had the displeasure of reading it, I'd say don't bother. It's harmful, it's hurtful. And I get so cross when I think about things like this being published. I feel like these people think that homosexuals are a dirty old man that live around the corner. Like they have this fictional image that they have in their heads of what a homosexual is. And what they don't realise is that they're speaking to a bunch of kids who are coming to terms with their sexuality. They're speaking to, you know, mothers and fathers and lawyers and hairdressers and everyone, all these people with faces and stories, and they're really important and they matter, and it just cheapens everyone, this sort of letter.
It makes me so angry, Emma, because I'm just a normal middle-aged lady sitting in a normal middle-class home, and I can go to the computer and I can look up the research and I can find out the facts. You know, we have the internet now. The facts are available to everybody, from scholarly research on homosexuality and how kids do in different kinds of families. The Catholic Church has much more resources than I have, so there's no excuse for them not having access to the truth. But they just ignore it.
I'm really interested in what you say about having access, because obviously this was online and therefore would probably generate a lot of attention from like a social media and lots of young people using the internet and stuff. What kind of attention has the blog received?
Well, it was my most popular blog to date, and I've been blogging for 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's had thousands of views and I haven't had one person disagreeing with it yet. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I'm thinking of putting the F word in every article I write. I think it'll be much more popular.
Certainly has more impact.
I have to say it wasn't the F word that got me. My favourite bit was your way of saying, that's ridiculous. My fat fanny it is.
My fat fanny, yes.
That was the one that got me. There was tears in my eyes when I was reading that. But
I got a lot of grief about that from some of my gay friends.
it just made me laugh so much. It's such a great saying. But do you think it's fair to say that Shut the F Up, is dissecting and separating the truth from fiction in the pastoral letter, or did you write it as an open letter in opposition?
Look, my one aim was to stick a pin in them and deflate their bloated egos. I was so angry. You won't change the minds of these small-minded bigots. You know, they're not interested in the truth. As I said, they have access to the truth and they don't want to know. All you can do is mock them and marginalise them. And I think it's important to say to kids who can be affected by this kind of nonsense, these people aren't worth worrying about. Just because they've got a grand title doesn't mean they're right, and it doesn't mean they tell the truth either.
Absolutely. Not only are they not worth worrying about, but they don't represent the views of the majority of Australians, as we've seen in studies on
the polls.
Approval rates of same-sex marriage. So, I mean, if anyone is listening, like, these are crazy men who worship a man in the sky and they wear dresses, and let's just laugh at them, because really they're very sad little men, and I don't think that they represent their religion very well, and I think they need to really take a good look at their self-esteem, that they need to say things like that to such a amazing group of people in our society.
And I think we need to say, Emma, they don't represent Catholics either. They don't represent a people who are Christians, because I think most Christians support same-sex marriage. Now, they are supporting an absolute minority fundamentalist view. And people have moved on. And as always, the bureaucrats and the fundamentalists in the church are dragging their heels, kicking and screaming. And they're on the wrong side of history, as they've been on every kind of progressive issue since the world began.
So, Chris, do you consider yourself anti-Christian or religious in any way then?
No, I'm an atheist, mm-hmm. But I'm not anti-religious and I'm not anti-Christian. Mm-hmm. What I am is anti-lying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I think that anybody should have the freedom of religion. They should be able to believe in anything they want. I mean, I have family who are Christians, and I've said to them, look, I don't care what you believe in. You know, I don't care if you believe in Mickey Mouse if it makes you happy. But what I don't want you doing is inflicting your religious beliefs on me and my family.
Yeah, to the harmful detriment of other people.
You know, we talk about freedom of religion, but we also have a right to freedom from religion.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a really valid point that you raise when you say that they don't represent all Catholics or even all Christians, because I got into a bit of trouble on my Facebook page. The theme tonight seems to be social media so far, making a remark and linking your blog, and a few Catholics that I know got really cross, and they were like, well, Emma, I mean, I was a bit more colourful than you even, but they said, you know, don't paint us all with the same brush. Mm. And I just had to say, well, these are the people that represent you. This is the message that's being sent. You know, are you happy to stand and have this be painted with the same tar? This is the people that you support. It's important to know that these bishops, they represent a very small and fundamentalist few, I suppose.
Think it's really important for us to try and separate off the people who claim to represent the church and the people who are actually the congregations, because I think they're two completely separate groups. But what I think is really important is for those Catholics or for those Baptists or Anglicans or Methodists or whatever, who are looking at what their leaders are saying and don't agree, they need to stand up and say, no, these people aren't representing us. And that's happening more and more. You know, just last year, the Victorian Council of Churches stood up and said the Australian Christian lobby does not represent the views of all Australian Christians.
Absolutely.
That they are a small fundamentalist group with extreme views. And so I think that more and more Christians must stand up against these people, because these are the people, the fundamentalists and the extremists are the people that our government, unfortunately, is taking note of. They're not listening to the mainstream Christians.
Absolutely. And for any youth who are listening and want to reconcile your faith and your homosexuality, there are options available. Freedom to Be is a really great organisation that's a Christian organisation that's welcoming of gay people and supportive of same-sex marriage. Chris, we're just going to play some quick CSAs. Will you come back to us after the break?
Yeah, sure.
Hi guys, you're tuned into Generation Next on Joy 949. We've been having a really interesting discussion with Chris Stevenson, who we'll just return back to in a moment. But firstly, if you guys want to get in contact with us about what we're talking about today, you can SMS in on 0427-JOY949. Give us a call, 1300-JOY949, or also you can send us an email on air at joy.org.au. And at 7:15, I should say, you're with Em and Emma. So back to you, Chris. Are you still with us?
I'm still with you, Emma.
Fantastic. I'm just going to – we have been talking about the blog, that the posting that you've written in response to the bishops in the Catholic Church. But from what I can gather, you're also involved in some other kinds of campaigns, including same-sex marriage, school chaplaincy and abortion. So I was just wondering if there's a common thread that's underlying your activism.
Yeah, probably the common thread is I find it very difficult to say no. Look, the common thread is that I have no objection at all to people following the religion of their choice. But where I get cranky is when people want to force their religious beliefs onto me through legislation. And there's far too much of that going on both here and in America. You know, fundamentalist Christians are strategically colonising political parties. They're getting into the public service, into schools, onto PNC committees and other areas of influence, and their aim is to legislate Christian morality. Now, you know, whether that's in opposing same-sex marriage, in trying to get school chaplains into state schools, opposing abortion, this is all a part of this push to legislate Christian morality and make us a country under God. And I think your audience will realise that there's not too much moral about fundamentalist Christian morality. It's more about hate than love, more about discrimination than justice, and more about exclusion than inclusion. So there are some really lovely Christians out there, but unfortunately, they're not the ones who are influencing our government.
I always find it so amazing that the fundamentalist Christians, or indeed any religion, they're such a minority and yet they are so well organised, because you're right, they're infiltrating politics and they're putting their fingers in a lot of pies. And I just think that that type of organisation and tunnel vision, they should be using their powers for good. But you're 100% right. It's more about hate than love. And I think it's important that we do reiterate that they don't reflect all Christian or Catholic views, and that no one should tolerate them. They're spreading messages of hatred.
And I think we should learn from them too, because they are actually very good at what they do. And one of the things that we don't do is, as well, although the gay community's been fabulous at this, is organising, getting together and speaking out and actually having a say, having a voice. And, you know, they've been really good at that. You've got to give them some credit.
We've actually got a comment and an SMS that's been sent through from one of our listeners. And Chris, I'd be interested in your opinion on this, given the kind of activism that you've done surrounding it. This person said, why do other religions like the Orthodox Church respect the decency of the gay community and are out of the media, unlike the Catholic Church with their constant lobbying? Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, I don't know a lot about the Orthodox Church. I know that progressive Judaism has come out in support of same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of churches that do support it. There are a lot of ministers of religion who support it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's not paint all religion with the same brush. There are a lot of people who do support it. Some people are simply biblical literalists. You know, they read the Bible and they take it literally. They take literally the bits they want to believe in. The bits they don't want to actually adhere to, they find some way of getting out of it.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And it's funny because Bible passages come to mind about stoning unfaithful wives, and can't imagine them getting away with that for very long if they decided to go by the book. But anyway, they can pick and choose and remind us all how much they hate the gays for as long
that's
as they
right.
need to. I'm really interested. Sorry, go on, Chris.
No, that's okay. It's. I mean, any group always has to have another to define themselves against. And back in the 1950s and 60s, you know, we defined ourselves against the communists. And now more and more, now the communists have gone, Christians were without an other. So what they do is they set up the gays as the enemy. You're the people who are going to bring down civilization. And it's just a way that groups have of defining themselves by setting up some kind of antichrist, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can see that if you look through history, it's quite easy. There's a definite linear path. Chris, we're about to play a song, but just before we go to the song, hopefully you'll join us after the break. I wanted to know what you thought the outcome of the Senate marriage inquiry would be. I know it's sort of speculation, but...
Yeah, look, I'd love to think it'll be positive. I think it's probably... maybe 50-50. I know all the folks at the Australian Marriage Equality are doing an incredible job.
Aren't they?
But look, Emma, even if it fails this time, marriage equality is inevitable.
Just a matter
of time. It's going to happen. I think it's got to the stage where it's absolutely unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And those people who oppose it are on the wrong side of history. We're going to look back in the future at the politicians who oppose marriage equality, and they'll be seen in the same light as the racists who opposed civil rights in America in the 60s. So, you know, we're going to look back and say, what were people thinking back then?
Absolutely. How did this take so long to come about?
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we're going to hear Girls and Boys by Blur in honour of all the lovely little LGBTIQ girls and boys out there who are listening to us. Chris, thank you for joining us, and we'll hear more from you after the short break.
Terrific.
It's Australia's own New Zealander, Kel Wilson here, and you are listening to Joy 94.9.
You certainly are listening to Joy 94.9. This is Generation Next, and we are lucky enough to be joined by Chris Stevenson, who's been with us for the whole hour, well, half of the hour so far. This is M&M, and Chris, you're still with us?
I'm still with you.
Now, I really wanted to talk about something you've been involved with lately, because even though Shut the F Up was just a week or so ago, it's amazing how time flies in news world. but lately you have been involved in New South Wales Dying with Dignity conference. Can you tell us what this is all about?
Yes, I was the guest speaker at this year's Dying with Dignity conference in Sydney. And just like gay rights activists, people who support voluntary euthanasia are under constant attack from the religious right. And I wanted to say, look, it's not just voluntary euthanasia these people are against. They're making up stories and spreading misinformation about same-sex marriage, about abortion, about evolution, about stem cell research. Emma, it's a whole propaganda industry, and there's very little regard for the truth. And I think there's a real opportunity there for all of these groups to start working together against this religious propaganda, because it affects all of our lives. And all of these things are being opposed by the same people using the same propaganda and the same strategies. So, you know, why aren't gay rights activists and women's reproductive rights activists and people who are fighting for... science to be protected in schools, and people who are fighting for stem cell research, all working together and exposing these people who are just making stuff up?
Absolutely. And I'm the propaganda and making stuff up that you've mentioned, I believe there's one sort of like an urban legend in particular involving euthanasia and a ballet dancer. Can you tell us a bit about that? What?
Ballet dancer. It's a myth that's been going around since 1995, but it was repeated on ABC's Q&A back in October this year. And the story is that this 25-year-old ballet dancer from the Netherlands went to her doctor with crippling arthritis in her toes, and she said, look, doctor, I'm no longer able to dance, and life's not worth living for me if I can't dance, so can you please euthanize me? And the doctor said, oh, well, yes, I suppose so, if you insist. And
because I'm sure it's that easy.
And this is what the anti-euthanasia campaigners are saying is going to happen if we allow euthanasia. When I track this story back, there's no truth to it whatsoever. It couldn't have happened. If it did happen, the doctor would be in jail for murder. And it tracked back to a fundamentalist Catholic televangelist.
No.
Yes. Who, of course, didn't say he was a fundamentalist Catholic televangelist when he was telling it. He just said that he was a board-registered doctor in America, which he was. but all the, you know, his religious bias was well hidden.
We they never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Chris, we've got a lot of young listeners on this program, and so I was wondering if you could just really briefly do a little bit of backtrack and talk about what euthanasia actually is and what the current legislation surrounding it is.
Sure. Look, we like to say voluntary euthanasia because it's all about choice. Voluntary euthanasia allows someone who's terminally ill or has some other catastrophic problem that makes their life unbearable to say, look, I've really had enough. There's no prospect of things getting better for me, and I want to go quietly and peacefully with my family around me. I don't want to wait until I'm gasping for breath or in dreadful pain or I've lost control of my bodily functions or I'm in a fog of morphine. It's all about choice. And if you don't want to do that, then that's your choice too. So what's important is to say that it's not about letting doctors just do away with anyone who strolls into their office and says, I've had a bad day or I've broken up with my girlfriend or I'm getting bullied at school, put me out of my misery. That's not what voluntary euthanasia is about. This is for, principally for terminally ill patients, probably in the last hours of their lives or in the last weeks of their life, when things are really beyond the place where the doctors can do much to help them and they just want to go peacefully.
Absolutely. And I can only imagine that the fundamentalist sensationalists would have you believe that it is just a matter of the doctor saying yes or no. But in fact, if it was to come about, it would be an incredibly highly regulated area and there would be a lot of criteria that would have to be met.
Absolutely. It's working. It's working in the Netherlands. It's working in Belgium. It's working in Oregon and in Washington. And it's working in Switzerland. There are different ways of doing it. But all of these systems are working. It's not being abused. Little old ladies aren't being put down by their families to get the inheritance. All of these myths are just made up. That's not borne out by the studies in these areas where euthanasia is legalised.
So how would we go about changing the current legislation?
Well, Emma, changing the law, it's like anything else. Around about 80% of Australians support voluntary euthanasia. And if all those people simply took a few minutes to email or phone their local politician or maybe join their local Dying with Dignity group, it would get to the stage where the politicians just couldn't ignore it. It just takes people to stand up and get involved.
So, Chris, you've also written a blog about coming on the show tonight, which is about youth activism. So what sort of messages do you think it's important to send out to our young listeners, I guess?
I really want to say that if there's something you think should be changed, please don't rely on other people to change it. Get up and do something yourself. You know, Emma, young people don't realise how much power they have. You know, you think, I'm just one person, what can I do? But remember, it was young people who changed the world in the 1960s. Women's rights, gay rights, civil rights, they all started with young people campaigning and saying, we want to do away with the old prejudices. We want a different kind of world. And they demanded it. And the older generation had to change. And with the internet, kids today have even more power. They can form social networks and multiply that power by thousands. And I was looking at something the other day. I've got a reasonable amount of followers, but I think, you know, maybe on Twitter, which is a sort of a middle-aged thing, I think. I don't know if kids use Twitter. But I've got about 300 followers on Twitter. But my reach on Twitter is apparently about 2,000.
Yeah, it just gets retweeted.
It just gets retweeted. So, you know, find something you're passionate about. It might be gay rights, but just because you're gay doesn't mean that has to be your cause.
Yep.
But get something that you'll really want to change and then find a group that supports that cause and join up and use your social networks to encourage people to email their politicians about the cause you're passionate about, ask them to sign petitions, write letters to the editor of your local newspaper. You can use the power of the social networking to change the world. You really can. I mean, look at what happened in Egypt.
Yeah.
They started a Facebook group against the dictator government there.
Mm-hmm.
85,000 people signed up. They gathered in the streets and they brought down the government of Egypt.
It's mind-boggling.
each person who signed up was only one person, and they probably said, well, I'll sign up for this, but I don't imagine it'll do any good. But when enough people get together, we can change the world.
Social grassroots movement.
It's so important to remember that you elect your politicians, they are accountable to you, and they need to be representing majority public opinion. Another thing that I wanted to say as well is that it's so important. It is so important. You can't see me in the studio, but I'm gesticulating wildly that you're informed about your causes, because copying and pasting a Kony link really isn't making that large of a difference, but you do have the ability to make change. Chris, thank you. That's a very uplifting note to leave us on. What will you be getting up to in the next couple of months?
Well, at the end of this week, I'm off to the Global Atheist Convention, which is going to be great fun and very informative. And then when I get back, I'm hoping we'll hear the verdict from the High Court about our challenge to the National School Chaplaincy Program. My friend Ron Williams took the federal government to court because he doesn't think school chaplains should be in state schools. And he's a great example of an activist. You know, he's just an ordinary suburban guy, not rich, with six kids. And he found something he was passionate about, and he was willing to take on the whole government. And he ended up fighting the government in the High Court. You know, it was just fabulous.
It's certainly an inspiring example. Chris, we are going to have to finish up then. So just before we go, can you tell our listeners where to go to read your blogs?
Oh, yes, sure. Okay, all you need to do is Google Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear, mm-hmm. which is the name of my blog,
yep.
or just my name, Chris with a Y and Stevenson with a V.
Okay, fantastic.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us. It has been such a pleasure chatting to you. I hope you stay in touch with Generation Next in the future. Sounds like you're involved in a lot of politics, and we love it. We absolutely
love
it.
I'd love to come back. Love to come back anytime, Emma.
Thank you so much. We're about to hear All Saints Never Ever.
Hi, guys. You are on Generation Next with Emma and Em. It's 7:42. We've been having a really fantastic and interesting discussion with Chris Stevenson earlier in the program, and got in some really interesting thoughts and messages from some of you guys. If anybody else wants to get in contact with us, you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949. Give us a call, 1300-JOY-949, or email us on air at joy.org.au. We are changing topics nice and quickly, and we are going to be talking with Serge, who is an ambassador for National Youth Week. Serge, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello, how are you going?
I'm well, thank you. Well, big day, but I'm good.
That's good. Do you want to just give us a rundown? What is National Youth Week?
Well, National Youth Week is basically a government initiative that's designed to encourage young people to showcase their creativity and have a say about issues that affect them.
How did you get involved? Because I believe you're an ambassador of Youth Week.
Yeah, well, I work for the project on Channel 10 doing environment reports. I've always been really passionate about the environment. And so they approached me and asked if I wanted to be an ambassador and basically just help spread the word and help spread the idea of Youth Week and try and get as many young people as I could involved. And, yeah, just kind of amp up the, you know, the interest in it, really.
Cool. So what do you actually do as an ambassador?
As an ambassador, most of what I do is basically around trying to get young people involved and keen to do it. So I've done a few different things here and there. I'm going to be going to an event on the weekend where the Riff and on Channel V are doing an event, basically getting a lot of young people together. And it's basically just, you know, getting people amped up and keen and kind of talking to people on the street and talking to people here and there. And, yeah, just kind of getting it out there, the whole concept of Youth Week.
Sounds really fun.
Yeah, and I know that Youth Week has just released their calendar of events, and people can add their own event if they want to. But at the moment, what kind of programs is National Youth Week offering?
Well, the main thing that Youth Week is about is the National Talent Competition, which is basically a chance for young people to have their talents recognised in the areas of short film, photography, writing, design and music. So that's what everything's basically centred around. But there's lots of events going on locally in your area. So the best way to basically get involved is to go online, check out the website. There you can enter any of the competitions and then see what's happening locally.
Cool. Are there any LGBTI specific programs?
Look, there's nothing specifically, but I was thinking about that. And, you know, personally, like, I've been really inspired in the last year or so about the marriage equality movement. And uh-huh. I was thinking, you know, that I'd love to see kids getting involved and highlighting the movement in the national competition, whether it be in film, photography or writing.
Yeah,
I think, you know, it's been such an important and powerful social movement. The mm-hmm. subject matter would be just perfect for the competition.
Yeah,
absolutely. And, I mean, if you guys are listening at home, you can actually physically add to this calendar of events in National Youth Week. So why don't you create something?
Exactly, get involved.
Have a same-sex marriage bake-a-thon or something.
Definitely, 100%.
That's just
awesome.
Throwing that out there.
Get down there for sure.
So how can people get involved?
Like I said, best way, jump online, check out the website, see what competitions are up there, and, yeah, just get involved in that way. Like, I mean, like I said, there's lots of things happening in every local community, so jump online, check it out.
Awesome.
And the website's where we go for more info as well?
Yes, it is. It's www.youthweek.com.
Serge, thank you so much. We've just covered it all.
No worries.
Bang,
thanks
bang,
for
bang.
Having us, guys. See you later.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
No problem.
Oh, how amazing. We have had such a packed show. And Em, you mentioned before that we got some texts in.
Yes, yeah. We got some messages from a couple of people, including Matt. Big shout out to Matt, who can't be with us tonight.
We're thinking about you.
We didn't bring an awkward harmonica, but that's okay. We've had so much chat time, we didn't need to.
I will. I promise I will.
So we got an SMS from Grant from Essendon, who said he just liked the Dine with Digny Facebook page and we'll be looking into joining it fully. Which is really great to, you know, to know that you guys are kind of responding and engaging with the topics that we're talking about. Kevin Duffy is from Dublin in Ireland, and he's written quite an interesting email saying the bigotry of the Catholic Church is worldwide. The majority of Irish people support gay marriage and civil partnership was recently introduced here. At the same time, the Catholic Church did everything they could to undermine and denigrate. Excuse me, denigrate the love between two human beings who happen to be of the same sex. I believe they do not represent the majority of people who are supportive and understanding. So that's quite interesting. You know, it's just repeated worldwide what Melbourne's facing right now.
Absolutely. And you forgot to say that Kevin also said that he loves the show.
That's
weird. We love you too, Kevin.
Finally, Elke says that she's found the speaker tonight really fascinating and especially her idea of freedom from religion. So we are really pleased to hear from you guys. If anybody else wants to get in contact with us.
It's not too late.
No, we'd love to hear from you. You can SMS 0427-JOY949. Give us a call 1300-JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au.
Yes, and you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
GenNextJoy949 949 mm-hmm. is our handle or extension or whatever the technical term is.
Handle?
I don't know.
I've never heard that.
You are. Shut up.
I don't know. I don't know what that was.
So you can find us on all the social medias because that's how we roll. We're about to hear a song and it's only our third of the entire night because we have been so jam-packed with content. So I picked a good one. I hope you like it.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper and if you just want to have fun, do you? Keep listening to Joy 94.9 FM.
You're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9 and we are having fun. We've had such a great show tonight. Thank you so much to Chris and Serge for being our guests.
Yep. Really interesting things going on with them, which we've had a lot of banter about.
A lot of banter, a lot of feedback. And of course, as always, we will be posting a link to Chris's blog. She actually wrote one specifically about the show tonight and about youth activism, which will be exciting. I actually believe I've already posted that one to Generation Next. And we'll be posting more about National Youth Week, thanks to Serge.
Yeah, so two really great ways that you can kind of get involved and see what's going on in the LGBTI community and also just the extended community.
The world.
It's not only LGBTI specific. These are issues which are really interesting for young people or people of any age, young at heart, to engage with.
Absolutely. And I just realised that we hadn't let you know that National Youth Week is the 13th to the 22nd of April. So
next week. Great.
Just in time for bum-ba-da-da.
Great segue.
I know. And that was my drum roll as well.
That's probably a bit better.
minus 18, same-sex formal, and we are so excited because we're all going.
Yep. So basically, you have to be 21, I think, to attend. Under 21.
Under 21.
Yeah, but it's an all-ages event. Alcohol-free, prejudice-free.
Drugs-free.
Drugs-free, smoke-free, but costume not free. it is a formal. You can go as formal as you like, you know, kind of get your tux and bow tie going, your sequins, or, you know, jeans and a shirt. It's fine as well. Emma and I were talking about possibly getting some fake eyelashes.
Having a glitter bath.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll be there doing some vox pops, having a chat with you guys, as well as talking to Micah and all the team from Minus 18, who we love.
Absolutely. So everyone better come over and say hi, because we'll be recording and having a chat, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Yep. So that's next Saturday night, or this coming Saturday, the 14th of April, in Collingwood, I believe.
Oh, I don't remember. What?
Okay, we will repost that to the Facebook page.
Yeah, we'll post that. Yep. We're about to hear some CSAs, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back to Generation Next. You're listening to Joy 94.9. You're joined by Em and Emma. And we are nearly at the end of our show.
7:56 p.m.
I know, it's a bit sad, but it's okay because Squirrel and the gang are next on Worldwide Wave, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah, we like them.
We like them. They're okay. They can stay. They're looking at us strangely now.
Give them a wave.
Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. We've had such a massive show, and we've had so much feedback, which we love. And yep. Em, if anyone wanted to send more feedback.
Oh, wow. I reckon I've done this spiel about four times tonight. That's because we love it. You can get in contact with us. SMS 0427JOY949. Phone in 1300JOY949. Email on air at joy.org.au. Do a search on Facebook, find our page to like us, and we will like you right back. Or find us on Twitter, GenNextJoy949.
Yeah, GenNextJoy949. Yep. Happily, they're both the same for Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, happily. What a happy coincidence that was.
Very non-confusing. We were actually just looking at Twitter, and if you're following the same sort of people that we are, there seems to be a lot of talk about religion and same-sex marriage at the moment.
Yeah, which is one of those great things where, you know, I don't know, like you put a thought out there and suddenly the universe just comes back to you in different ways. I love it when that sort of thing happens. You might just be all thinking I'm a bit insane right now, but that's something that I really think, you know, there are certain ideas that are kind of go around at certain times, and this appears to be something tonight that's a bit of a hot topic.
Absolutely. And one thing that I have to say, apart from thanking our guests again so much, Chris Stevenson and Serge from National Youth Week, is same-sex marriage is going to happen.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time.
Just a matter of time.
Yep.
This has been Emma and Em on Generation Next. Thank you so much for joining us. We have had such a fun show. We're a bit buzzed in the studio right now.
And we will talk with you guys next week and possibly see you on Saturday night.
Yeah, come over and say hi. Have an amazing week.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.